to another exciting edition of the Infinite Loopcast. I'm Dave, and I'm joined by Aaron.
Hello.
Hello, Aaron. How are you, Aaron?
I'm all right. Doing all right. I've still not got those videos edited. I haven't even got one edited. So.
Didn't even know we were going to be releasing video of those.
Yes, the 360 interviews from EGX. I said I'd get one out this week, or last week,
okay.
Should I say. But I haven't, so... I have recovered some of the videos, though, because there was some corruption on some of them, so I've fixed that.
Okay.
There may be one or two still corrupt, but there's still a whole heap of videos to come out, so I should get on with those. But yeah, I've definitely got a couple prepped ready for editing, because I have to get them off the camera. I have to then stitch them together. Because obviously it records them in a strange format, then you stitch them together, which makes them into a normal format. You can then put in the editing tool and edit. So
right.
We're nearly there, but yeah.
It does sound like a bit of a pain in the bum.
It is a bit, but you know.
I'm sorry
doable.
I subjected you to it.
That's all right. It's not a major problem, but yeah, I need to get a system together. Because I'm sure if I get a system together, I could do them a lot quicker than individually sorting each one out.
Right.
There's some automation I could do, so I must sort that out.
Could you build an AI to do it for you?
Well, no, I could just build some scripts, because that's what I do at work. I build scripts to automate stuff.
Aren't scripts basically like a really basic form of AI?
Well, it's a basic form of programming.
AI must be based on scripts, surely.
Not really. Hopefully AI is learning. These scripts just do as they're told.
Okay.
So, yeah. There's not much intelligence there.
Unless you can create a script that...
Maybe. Maybe a script that analyses the output and works out better ways of doing it.
Yeah.
To get better output. Yeah. I don't think I'm up to that yet. Let's get an automation script together that basically outputs what I put into it, and then we can sort out
all the other jazz,
all the improvements later.
Yeah. And Aaron, we've got out of Psy this week.
Yes.
Which means we can actually talk about proper games like Elite Dangerous.
Yes. There's a whole bunch happening in Elite Dangerous this week.
Over
the last couple of weeks.
I've been thinking about going back to playing Elite Dangerous purely because of all the stuff that's been going on.
All the alien attacks,
yeah.
Yeah, and there's the Peter.
And there's the new ship, right?
Oh, yeah, the Type 10 Defender.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just got my new ship.
Okay. You bought... Yours is like billions of space
bucks.
No,
not quite. It's half a billion.
Half a billion space bucks.
Yeah. And I lost it this week. I got blown up.
Was it insured?
Well, yeah, they're all insured. They're all insured. Yeah, it's sort of, but you still have to pay a percentage. There's still
the
excess. Well, it worked out about 27 million.
Surely to a space billionaire like yourself.
Well, I can't take it out anymore because I'm down too low.
Okay, well, in terms of you don't have
the funds to pay for insurance again.
Okay.
So I'm going to take out a smaller ship, earn some funds, and then take the big ship out again. But yeah, it's taken me months and months to get this ship. Because you have to be a duke in the Empire to be able to be allowed to buy the ship.
Yeah, I noticed that you're a duke.
Yes, I had to...
When I read the thing that you sent to me, it said, you must be a duke.
Yes. So it took me ages. Because you have to do missions for the Empire to wheedle up your rank.
Okay.
And that is, at the end, it was, I think, two grade 2 missions, so two reputation plus missions, would get me 1%.
Okay.
So, and I don't know how many levels it took. I don't know how many levels. It's about 8 levels. Obviously, the earlier levels are quicker. But yeah, the last level, I must have done, you know, say 200 missions. Just to get that last level, because each mission was taking me, you know, 0.5%, roughly. So yeah, it's just backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, taking these missions. But yeah. So yeah, I've
eventually
got there.
Do you feel a sense of achievement?
Yes, yeah, good, because I can actually take fighters in this one as well. So I can now, so if you come along with me, you could fly the fighters for me. So, you know, you could launch a fighter at the bottom of the ship to help me do combat. But yeah, it's quite fun.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. Should be good. Yeah.
And apparently in the new update, they're going to be putting in like proper wing missions and...
Yeah, yeah. This year now.
The new season, right?
The new season, yes.
Called Beyond.
Yeah. The beta for that's out on the 25th of January.
Anyone can join in the beta?
Yeah, it's open beta, which is, yeah.
Unusual.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of saltiness happening on this. Because
you paid 120 quid for it, right?
I paid that for the Lifetime Season Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, effectively, they said there is going to be some content for me this year. You know, for the paid subscribers.
Yep.
Paid people. Paid up people. But we don't know what yet. And also, I also paid extra for beta access. And obviously now the betas are all open. So that's two lots of paid stuff I've paid for that get me nothing extra at the moment.
It's a bit irritating, isn't it?
Because Horizons wasn't even last year, was it? It was the year before.
Yeah, Horizons. Yeah, Horizons was the year before.
Yeah, so it'll be, depending on what they release this year, it's 3 years of free content for people who bought Horizons. So that makes my lifetime pass a bit longer to make its money back.
Right. I'm quite glad I didn't do the lifetime pass. I mean, I don't play the game tons anyway, so I'm quite glad from that perspective. I'm quite glad because I don't feel like you got what you thought you were going to get.
Yeah, it's definitely not feeling like you're getting your money's worth yet. We'll see. We'll see what we get. Because they haven't announced it yet. Hopefully, because they're doing some live streams this week. Hopefully they'll tell us, or at least give us a hint on what we're going to get this year. Because obviously, quarter one, there's going to be a bunch of updates. Some little life improvement updates, some... I don't know when the new ship's coming out, whether that's in quarter four or quarter one. Because they're doing two big updates, quarter one and quarter four. Quarter four is all the big stuff.
So what, quarter two and three are just like...
They're small updates. Whether they'll be the paid content, I don't know.
Okay.
So quarter one... I can't remember what's in quarter one. There's a bunch of stuff. They're adding a few different little bits. But most of the big stuff's in quarter four. So the updates to mining, exploration, bounty missions, that sort of squad. Because you can, the idea is you can form squads.
Okay.
Think Eve corporations and other, you know, guilds sort of thing.
Yep.
And then they can buy a carrier. So you can have your own carrier in game that you can land ships on. And that's your squad's carrier.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That will be cool.
Carrier within days.
What?
As in within days of it coming out.
Yeah. There'll be lots of them about, but I don't know how manoeuvrable they'll be.
Okay.
And how much attack, you know, how costly they will be to keep. Because I assume it's a money sink for them.
Right.
Because a lot of people have billions and billions of spare cash in the game. So they've got to generate some sort of money sink for this cash. They were hoping Power Play would be that.
Power Play was very poorly... I mean, first of all, it's very poorly explained, I feel. I don't really understand Power Play.
Power Play doesn't... Basically, it's all about pushing your borders into the opposing faction's borders and doing raids on their borders and stuff, and then they're bolstering up yours and things. So, yeah, it's... I haven't played it for a while. I usually play it quite a bit, but I've been too busy trying to get the ship.
Right.
So now I've just got to get some more money so I can run this ship, and then I should be back to power play again. But yeah, it's not.
And you're on the.
I'm an Empire.
Empire.
Yeah. I'm the Imperials.
And they're the goodies?
Who's goodies?
Is it all very?
They've all got their bad sides. Yeah. It's all a bit, you know. There's no black and white.
Right.
The Empire, the Federation, and the Alliance.
Okay.
So the Empire is all think British Empire. That's what it's basically modelled on.
Okay.
The Federation. Federation. I think America.
Okay.
And the Alliance. I don't know what the Alliance is based on. Whether it's based on the EU or something. That sort of. It's just a combination of individual planets, and they don't really. There's not much to them. They don't really produce much.
Mm-hmm.
The Type 10, I think, is theirs, and they've got another ship coming out. So they've got a few. They've got the Chieftain coming out, and they've got the Type 10. So they've got a few ships that are theirs, but there's no rank needed, so you can just buy them anyway. Or at least the Type 10 you can. So there's no benefit of levelling up with the Alliance.
Okay.
Whereas the Federation and the Empire have their own ships that you have to be a certain level to buy.
So what's the point of going with the Alliance? If you don't get ships or something?
Well, it's just a faction to fight for. You get some specialities in power play. So the faction I'm with just gets some special shields.
Okay.
Are
they more protective?
I think they're more protective for energy weapons or something.
Okay.
So they're slightly geared towards energy rather than ballistic.
Right.
Kinetic. And explosives. So, you know, it's. But they are in general more protective than the other ones. But you can do engineering that then tunes your shields more. That was another thing, part of the Horizons update. You got to go to engineers because they were planet side.
Mm-hmm.
So you could only do the engineers if you had the Horizons pack.
Right. Well, you were meant to only be able to do the engineers if you had the Horizons pack.
Well, no, you can't, because they're on a planet, and you can't go to a planet if you don't have Horizons.
Really?
Yes.
So all my planeting, that's because I've got the Horizons thing?
Yes.
I just thought it was a cool mechanic in the game.
No, it's Horizons. So that was the part of the Horizons pack, as were... There were a bunch of other things you got. So engineers were part of that. Power play, I think, came to everyone. So there's a bunch of things you could only do if you had the Horizons pack. That was the idea. And planetary landings was one of them.
Right.
People are speculating maybe the atmospheric planets will be the paid content this year. But they're not going to seasons anymore. They're going individuals. So instead of paying for a season, you'll now pay for individual pieces of content.
So, okay, more like microtransactions.
Like DLC effectively. So instead of having a season pass, they'll have just individual DLCs you pay for individually.
Right. But you can buy them all together in a block like a traditional season pass?
I don't know that they're going to allow that. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know.
I feel like it would be a bit strange if they didn't allow it at all.
What? Just a season pass?
Yeah.
Maybe they will. Maybe. They haven't come up with a new paid content yet, so nobody knows what this is going to be. But yeah, they were saying they were trying to move away from seasons.
Right.
Possibly because of the, you know, the spotty releases of content. Because they can't guarantee they're going to get enough out in a year to give you enough for that
paid content. Has it been a bit patchy?
Well, yeah. Well, this last year was all story content for the Thargoids.
Right. So that's, which are the aliens for people who don't know?
Yeah, they're the aliens. So that all spanned last year, and at Christmas they attacked.
Right.
So yeah, so there was all sorts of missions you could do, and
but they're not on any of the planets, are they?
Yes.
Oh, are they now?
Sorry, there's bases and crashed things on planets, but no, right. You don't meet them. You don't. They're sort of space. It's quite tricky because everything you do at the moment is in your spaceship or in your buggy.
Right.
So, you know,
there's no on foot gameplay.
Yeah, there's no on foot. So it's all cockpit based.
Right.
So on planets is a bit strange, especially seeing as you're running your buggies at the moment is a bit strange, because obviously it's a single person buggy. They've got a turret on top, so you can't fire while you're driving as such.
Right.
So switching between turret and driving is a bit annoying at times. Hopefully they'll do multiplayer buggies. Because they're talking about adding extra buggies at one point, but we've not seen any. Because they called that the Scarab. So we've got a Scarab vehicle at the moment, but they're on about other vehicles. Geared towards other things, so you'll have different vehicles for different tasks. But at the moment, there's not much to do. You can attack bases, you can attack those flying sorcery things, you can do some mining on planets, and that's about the total amount of.
Yeah, there's not. There are the little drones, aren't there, that attack you on the planet?
Yeah, yeah. You can attack those, you can attack.
That don't seem to have any sort of master.
No. I think they're automated defense drones.
Right.
So, effectively, you'll find some cache of goods, and they'll be protected by these drones.
Yeah, we had that skimmers. When we played.
Yeah, we attacked some. Then there's also bases that have automated turrets, and maybe one of the skimmers defending them.
Right.
And sometimes you've got to go down and scan those things. Sometimes you have to take a tourist to the planet.
Haven't had to take a tourist down to the planet mission.
Yeah, if you get a VIP, sometimes they want to see points of interest. So sometimes you have to take them down to the planet to scan the point of interest that's on there. I couldn't get it to scan last time I tried it, so I failed that one. But yeah, it's something you can do. That's another planetary thing. But yeah, there's not huge amounts of planetary stuff to do. Hopefully they'll flesh that out, and they're making the planets look prettier this year.
Why are they going to have vegetables and things on?
Well, they're going to have some more stuff on it, but they're also going to make the rock formations more interesting and more varied, and colours, because at the moment I think the planets are all one colour more or less. There's not much variety in colours on a planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to change that so that there's actual varieties in shades and colours on the planets. Because
they're all a bit grey, aren't they?
Well, yeah, the beigeification is what everyone was calling it. When they released the Horizons planetary landings, where you could actually land on the planet, everything suddenly become a bit beige and less interesting.
Right.
Because the tech. The planetary tech for driving around on the planets wasn't up to scratch. So basically I think they just cut some corners and just made them all beige. So they could then just render them quite easily, because they all look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're on about icy planets as well. They've released a picture of icy planet. It looks really nice. The target render, should I say, it is.
Yeah.
It's not an actual, because they haven't done it yet. But the target render looks quite nice. But that's what they're aiming to get.
Okay.
So maybe that's for paid content. Icy planets, because I don't think you can land on them at the moment.
Maybe it'll be like ice ships and stuff.
Yeah, maybe there'd be ice mining and things, yeah.
And you'll be able to mine water.
Well, yes, or yeah. Some way of getting hydrogen fuel or something.
Right.
So maybe you can refuel that way rather than scooping stars.
Right,
I don't know.
Makes sense.
we'll see.
It makes sense for them to use their new feature somehow.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be stuff to do, but yeah, hopefully there'll be some nice paid content in the middle of the year.
Make the most of your special pass.
Yes. I don't think you'll get Earth-like planets.
Right, even though they've discovered a new one or something, haven't they?
What?
Wasn't there something they've discovered recently?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see anything.
Awesome.
Okay. No doubt they'll add...
clever science types have found something.
Maybe they'll add that then. Or make that in the game. Because normally when they... it's found in real life, they just add it to the game and make it, everything we know about the universe is supposed to be, they try and model it as close as they can in the game.
Right, but so that's got to be based on current knowledge.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So as they discover something, they just make a change to the universe in the game.
To the simulation.
To the background simulation, so, yeah. So hopefully they'll do that, but yeah, I don't think we'll get planets, because then they'd have to add, vegetation and animals and all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of craziness.
And they've got the Jurassic Park game, Jurassic World game coming out this year. So hopefully they'll be able to use some of the dinosaur tech from that in the in Elite Dangerous.
Okay.
So hopefully, yeah, they'll be able to cross-populate. Obviously, they won't be using the models. It won't be all dinosaurs we're meeting, because obviously those models will be based on Jurassic World, and Elite isn't a Jurassic World franchise.
Isn't it?
So therefore they won't be able to use the models. However, they will be able to use some of their programming tech that they're using in the game in Elite Dangerous. There's no reason why you can't just port that code across.
Right.
Because I'm sure it'll all be in similar engines, if they're smart enough. I believe they are. I believe they'll have been smart enough to put the right to keep the same sort of basic engine tech between all their games, so they don't have to keep rewriting any code they want to use between the different games. Planet Coaster and Elite Dangerous are quite different,
right?
But there's no reason why you wouldn't keep the same sort of shader techs and things like that. So if you need, terrain shaders, they're doing terrain shaders in Planet Coaster. And they're going to need them for Jurassic World. So why not just use the same technology games? Yeah.
So borrowing technology.
Yeah. You wrote it. It's your library. You may as well reuse that library. So you can reuse libraries. What you can't do is reuse assets that are based on other people's IP.
Makes sense.
So if you do dinosaurs in the style of Jurassic World, you can't then use those somewhere else. Obviously, if you're doing a dinosaur that looks like a model in, Natural History Museum, that's up for grabs. Unless, it depends what deal they've done with Disney for Jurassic World.
Oh, I see.
Because if they've got some sort of exclusivity deal on there, then maybe we can't have dinosaurs in any of our worlds. But there's already a pseudo dinosaur in Planet Coaster.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a dinosaur mascot called Gulpy.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's the mascot for the drinks franchise.
I see.
The Gulpy drinks franchise in the game. So,
the fake one in the game.
Yeah, the fake one in the game. So, I was going to say there's Cosmic Cow, but that's milkshakes. Yeah, the Gulpy. Yeah, so, but that is that's effectively a model of a man in a dinosaur costume.
Okay.
Because he's a mascot in the game. So, yeah, so that's quite fun. So hopefully we'll get some tech populating across, so some of the animal tech, so some of the herding and that lot, hopefully we'll get across, but I don't see it this year. I suspect that'll be next year.
You remain skeptical on their ability to hit
targets. I doubt they'll be able to hit that this year. This year I suspect maybe we'll get some atmospheric planets, So we'll have different things we can do, maybe.
But presumably they've had different teams working on different aspects of the game.
Yes. Yeah. They've got graphics teams and animation teams and things like that. And they've even got different teams across the different games. But they are the same people that get moved between games.
Well, it's a bit like Ubisoft or any other major studio.
Well, any company, really. You know, you get moved from project to project.
Right. They utilise the talent.
Yes. Yeah. If say the design phase was finished for the content for Elite Dangerous, they'll move most of the design people onto another project that needs some design resource. They'll keep some behind to keep with the new decisions on the designs, but they'll just move the staff around as they need to. So, you know, if they don't need so much animation on Elite, if all the animation's done for now and all it needs is some tweaking, then they'll move that animation staff to somewhere where it's needed.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
But yeah. Hopefully they're doing that, because then, you know, we don't want people sitting around.
And you get game.
And we get more game for less money. So.
So have you been up to anything else apart from Elite?
Yeah, Star Citizen, on the same vein. I'm still.
Oh, you've tried the game that isn't really a game.
Well, yeah, the alpha that's out at the moment, there is some gameplay, and I did try the missions, a couple of missions in there. Because there's missions in there, there's cargo delivery and things like that. And
is what's in there any good?
It's alright. It's alright. It's not great. There's a lot of work needed still, but there is some gameplay there now. It's not great. It's not finished by any stretch of the imagination, but at least there is a game loop there. I can buy cargo from one location and take it to another location and sell it for a profit, which is what I do a lot of the time in Elite Dangerous anyway.
Okay.
The problem you've got is that once you've earned a bunch of those credits, there's not much to do with them at the moment.
Right.
Because you can buy some outfits, you can buy some guns, and buy some ammo, and buy some fuel for your ships. And that's about all you can spend your money on at the moment. Or more cargo to transfer again. But the problem I had was it crashed on me twice while doing the missions. The first time it bugs out and the cargo container that we had in the cargo hold disappeared. It just randomly disappeared while we're doing the mission.
When you say we, you're playing with people?
Yes. Yeah, I'm playing with some squad mates from Self-Made. They've joined an organisation. And yeah, I was playing with some squad mates. And yeah, we...
Organisation?
Yes.
Is that the term, basically?
Yeah, it's a clan, effectively. It's they're orgs in the universe.
Okay.
So me and one of the guys from there, we tried it. First mission, we went, picked up the cargo, flew over to the destination, and the cargo wasn't there anymore. Yeah, that was a problem. So we tried another one. We flew.
Was it there to start with?
Yeah, it was there. Because you have to go there. You pick it up. Because you're going first person, you go and pick it up and carry it back to your ship and then plonk it down in a special area designated for cargo.
Yeah.
And then it sticks to, it puts it down on the grid, properly snaps a grid. And then you go and fly back. But then when we got back out of the pilot's seat and went back to the cargo hold to pick it up, it wasn't there anymore. So obviously it glitched out somewhere along the way. Because their network code isn't very good at the moment.
Right. That must surely be a priority for them, given the type of game.
Yeah, some of that is going to be fairly heavy duty, because at the moment, if you quantum jump, which is their version of sort of hyperspace, the person that is flying the ship sees that quantum jump, but the passenger doesn't.
So the passenger just suddenly feels like they've appeared somewhere.
Yeah, suddenly they're flying through space, and then all of a sudden they're in a different place.
Do you think this game will live up to its promise?
I reckon...
Or do you think it physically could never live up to its promise because people are asking so much of it?
That's the problem, isn't it? It is scope creeping quite a lot. I reckon they will release a product.
Whether, but will it be the product that people funded it for?
I reckon it'll be part of that product.
Okay.
Because they're talking about... It's not going to be a big galaxy like in Elite. Because you've got millions and billions of stars. Seeing as they're handcrafting a lot of their planets. Or parts of their planets.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't just... Because in Elite, it's all generated. And they don't let you see a lot of the planets close up. Because atmospheric planets, icy planets... water worlds, Earth-like worlds, you can't land on yet.
Okay. You can't even try and land on them.
No, I just can't remember what happens when you get too close. I must try that. Because you just can't land on them. I don't know what happens, whether you just burn up or something. I assume you burn up because you haven't got atmospheric shielding.
It'd be a bit
mean
if they did that, because that's going to cost you in-game money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they haven't coded it yet, basically.
Well, yeah, but they haven't... Effectively, you haven't got the shielding. I think they'll give you lots of opportunity for you to pull out. I suspect you'll start getting heat damage the closer you get to the planet, as you hit the atmosphere or whatever. And then your temperature will just start rising and rising and rising, and then you'll have to pull out. Or just blow your ship up.
Right.
So it'll be up to you whether you pull out or not.
Okay.
So
that sounds fair.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll give you enough warning to say, no, go back. You're not allowed here.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of that. So they haven't had to do all that. Because they've basically just made it off limits for now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite good. That's quite good. Because the original Elite didn't have planetary landings anyway, I don't think. I can't remember. It's so long ago. I was 84. You probably couldn't even tell. I think Frontier, the later games, there was some option.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't get far enough with Elite. Because I could only play it at school. Because we had it on the BBC.
All right.
Yes, so... Because I didn't have the Spectrum version or any other versions.
Mm-hmm.
So I did play it on the BBC a bit, but it was just at school, so it's a bit limited on, you know, what time you could play games at school.
Right. Depend on the teachers.
Yes. So, it's shown some promise.
I'm interested you're saying this because a lot of the things have been really scathing on it.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, from what I can tell and what I've listened to YouTubers, this game isn't coming out for another 2 or 3 years.
Right. So do you think it's just people with unrealistic expectations?
I think, and some people just saying it because it'll get some views. And get some buzz around whatever they're saying.
It's cool to say it, I think.
Yes, yeah, it's a thing. There was times when I thought it wouldn't do well, but people are spending a lot on these ships, so they're giving them a lot of cash, and they are moving it along. The leap from 2.6 to 3.0 was quite a fair leap.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the difference between those two was quite... Because 2.6 was effectively a tech demo.
Okay.
You could fly a ship around, of course, and do a couple of other bits, but there wasn't much there, to be honest. You could walk around a hangar, walk around a city, and fly a ship around an asteroid field, I think. There were three things you could do. There might have been more. I don't know. I didn't play much because I got bored of it quite quickly. Now, they've still got the hangar stuff and things like that, and they've got dogfighting. You know, like... what was it? The Eve Valkyrie thing. So we've got a dogfighting sort of competition game like that, like Elite Dangerous Arena, like Eve Valkyrie. They've got a little dogfighting arena sort of combat thing in it, and then they've got this the persistent universe, as they're calling it, but there's no persistence. There's very little persistency at the moment. A lot of the time, you just have to start back again. The only thing persistent is your lack of credit balance, if you spend any money.
So but you can only get that through real world?
No, you can earn it in-game.
Okay.
So the missions and the cargo trading and stuff like that, you get credits in the game. You can't buy the test currency with real money at the moment. You buy the final game currency with real money at the moment, and with that you can buy weapons and things in the online store, which then appear in the game. But yeah, it's a bit weird. It's persistency is not there quite yet. If you log out, the only way you can log out safely at the moment is by logging out by going to bed.
Okay.
So you I thought one of my ships didn't have a bed, but it does. I just couldn't find it. So there's a bed, and you just click on it and go to sleep, and then you can log out safely. And the idea is then that you'll log back in, you'll go into that bed. But the problem at the moment is there's no data sharing between the servers. So if you happen to get a different server when you log back on, it forgets where you were and puts you back to the start again.
Okay.
So they really need to fix that, at least.
Doesn't sound ideal.
And therefore, if you've bought any weapons or armour, you lose that.
Oh, right.
But your credit balance stays the same. So it doesn't refund your credit balance, so that's a bit annoying. So I'm slowly wiggling away my credit balance by buying stuff and not earning any money at the moment because my missions keep bugging out. But yeah, it's still an alpha game. They're doing quarterly releases now, so there should be 4 releases this year, each adding more content. But they've already slipped mining content to Q2 rather than Q1. Originally they said it was in Q1, but now they've slipped it to Q2.
Is it enough, do you think, to...
It's not a game at the moment. If you're wanting to play a game by Elite or something, it's not a game at the moment. It's a nice little playground, and it's nice to see what they're doing with it. Because I backed it, so...
Do you like the fact that you've backed... Like, now you see what it's becoming?
Yeah, it looks looking promising. I wish it had come out sooner, but it's quite impressive for what they're trying to do.
Right.
Because, you know, they're gonna try and do cities, atmospheric planets, first person, ship trading, mining, all sorts, all in one.
It's basically
gonna
be one of these sort of what people imagine sort of armor being for war, but for space kind of games.
Yeah, but it's a first person, do all sorts of stuff. They're on about farming, adding farming and drug manufacturing and all sorts into the game. How much of that will get into the first release of the game? Because the thing is, Elite's doing the same sort of thing. They're saying they want to do first person. They want to do atmospheric planets. They want to do all these other things. But what they've done is they've released a minimum game, and then over time they're adding this content. Whereas what Star Citizen are doing is they're just building it all into the base game and then releasing.
Mm-hmm.
So, to start with, you're going to get really slow progress because you've got to build all those systems into the game in the first place. And then you're going to build out your content. You're going to build out your planets and your stuff like that. So, yeah, it's... And you're not getting the money in. Or normally, you wouldn't get the money in. So that's why they're having to sell ships. Because normally you'd be selling the game.
Right.
But as there's not huge amounts of game there, you're not going to get huge amounts of players joining in because there's not much game to play.
Right.
So you're having to get the you know, the amount of money you need out of the fewer players you've got. Out of your dedicated believers.
Believers.
So, yes.
Are you a dedicated believer now, Aaron?
I believe it's coming out. I just don't know how much of the of what I want it to be will be in it.
Right.
And whether Elite Dangerous will get there first.
That's the thing.
Because if it's not coming out for another 3 years, what's three more years of Elite Dangerous content going to give me?
Right. So I feel like Elite, because they got the core game out quicker, are in a much stronger position.
They were, whether they still are, because of this year of story content.
Right.
A lot of people aren't coming for the story. And the way they've presented it, a lot of it you have to find out from YouTube videos and from blogs and emails. You don't find out
the story.
Anything. Yes.
Right.
You find out where to get the story. Because there's these mega ships. And they're amazing. They're lovely, great big ships. But there's... The getting that sort of information in-game wasn't great. There's some text blogs you can read in-game that will tell you a bit about it. But most of the time I just Googled it. I just had to go to a website and Google it. Which is a bit pants given I'm in VR.
Although, is there a web browser built into the game?
No.
That's annoying.
No, there's no... Although now I can actually get a web browser into the game via the new Oculus Dash.
Okay.
Because I've been watching YouTube videos while flying around.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't tried all the new embedded features in the Oculus
Dash.
Yeah,
because you can grab a window from your desktop,
yep,
and pin it in 3D space, and it stays there. If you pin it, it stays there when you dismiss the Dash. So therefore, you can create a small window and just have YouTube running in it. So I very often have music videos just running in YouTube and have that pinned so I can have some music in the game.
Right.
And you can interact with it. Obviously, typing's a bit of a pain because you don't really have a keyboard at the moment. But I'm sure they'll add that. But yeah, so... That was quite fun. That's quite nice. The only problem with that is it appears in front of everything, even if you shuffle it back. So it doesn't do the...
it doesn't have a perspective scaling.
Yeah, well, it has a perspective scaling, and it looks like it's where it is because of the 3D effect, which causes a problem when you've got something that should be in front, but it is actually showing behind. Because it's sort of an overlay. It's not in world effectively.
Right.
So it doesn't, so it just basically overlays it, but yeah. So the depth perception is saying that window is behind the other window, but it's actually showing in front of it because the other window's masked out by it. So it looks a bit weird and can really throw your eyes out a bit if you accidentally get it in the wrong place. And some of the Elite Dangerous windows pop up in front of it but are blocked by it. That just does make my eyes hurt when I see that too often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's those two. So playing those. I've picked up Emily Is Away 2.
That is the sequel to the AOL game.
Yes, so Emily Is Away was the first one.
Yep.
Emily Is Away 2 of TOO.
Yep.
Is the continuation of the story of Emily.
So Emily's still away.
Well, yeah, you're still chatting with her on EOL, which is their AOL clone.
Copy. Yep.
And they're sending, he's now sending links to, what was it? FaceNook. Yeah. So FaceNook, obviously, has taken over.
Does a nook look like a book?
Don't know, maybe.
Anyway,
but yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, it's updated. You're in the early 2000s now.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's quite good. I haven't finished it yet. I've only done the first three chapters. But there's time thing now. So you have to respond in a certain time, otherwise bad things
something
happen.
Like a default happens.
Well, yeah. Basically, they think you're not talking to them, and they get upset. So Emily got upset with me and stopped talking to me. She
That's
left.
Awesome.
Because I was trying to keep on two conversations at the same time, because you've got Evelyn and Emily, and you're trying to talk to both of them at the same time. And they're both demanding... They've both got timers. So you've got to keep switching backwards and forwards, quicker and quicker. And it's auto-typing for me. And because it's auto-typing for me, you have to stay on that screen for a certain amount of time to let it auto-type. And then you can press send, and then you can switch over to the other one. And I wasn't quite quick enough, so... Yeah, so Emily went away. So, yeah, we'll see what happens next chapter.
See what Emily has in store for you next.
Yes, see what she's... how upset she's going to be with me.
Ooh, I've nearly finished my second Switch game.
Okay, which one's this one?
Golf Story.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is a golf RPG a la Mario Tennis from the Game Boy. I think it's the one with the RPG.
Isn't tennis coming back?
Yeah, tennis is coming back. And they're bringing back an RPG mode because this has been so successful.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Golf Story, I think, has rejuvenated people's interest in RPG sports games. For want of a better... better thing about it, it's really cool. But basically, it's SNES art style, so pixel art style. And yeah. Your father dies in golfing circumstances. I think it's the only way I can describe it. And your sort of sole aim in life is to become the champion, and you rise through the ranks from rookie and being mocked by the golfing community. I think a fair description of their attitude towards you. They're really rude towards you. And then sort of you become the outcast, and then you become the underdog, and then from there you sort of become the golfing legend of Muhammad Ali. Golfing equivalent of Muhammad Ali. And everyone loves you. And you play golf. The golf itself works on a pretty simple three-click system, like any other golf game that I can think of at the moment.
So start swing,
yeah,
power,
start swing,
and then
set,
accuracy.
Then, yeah, essentially.
Okay.
Which works fine. That's what it's sort of set out to do. It's nothing exceptional. The nice thing with it is that even though it's simplistic, it's got enough depth to it for it to be interesting. Do you know what I mean? Like, you would... The courses are never challenging. I mean, there's obstacles on the courses, so there's one thing where the moles are out to get you, and there's another one where the eagles are out to, or the birds are out to get you, all this sort of thing. But some birds are there to help you. So if you shoot at certain birds, then they'll do something cool. If you shoot to the other ones, then they'll ruin your day. It's good. I like it. I wouldn't say it's exceptional, but it's an indie game, and it was. Less than £20, and well worth a punt. Like if you like golf, if you like the old school style sports RPGs that I feel like they used to be everywhere, but whenever I speak to people, they apparently weren't such a common thing. Have you ever played one of these type of games?
No, I don't tend to play sports games at all, even RPG ones.
Okay. Do you like three click golf?
It's all right. I played some in GTA.
Okay.
That was all right. I did a round of golf in GTA Online.
And that's three click, is it?
I think it is.
Click, click, boom in GTA.
I believe so. I can't remember. It was a while ago. Because that's the only way I've played those sorts of things is by having them in something else.
Right.
I hated Wii Golf.
Wii Golf. Which one was Wii Golf?
I was in Wii Sports Golf.
Oh, Wii Sports, okay.
That was terrible. I didn't think it was accurate enough. Maybe I was just terrible at it. You know, you never know.
Why did you say it was terrible?
I don't know. It just didn't feel right. It didn't seem as though it was doing what it should do. I don't know. Maybe I was, as I say, maybe I was just terrible.
Okay. I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not that into sports at all. Watching it or I don't play sports now because I'm just lazy at the moment. I used to play some sports, but I've never been interested in watching it.
Fair enough. I'm the same. I don't play sports at all. I don't really watch sports either. But I like three-click golf.
Yeah.
At the beginning of three-click golf, I didn't think I liked three-click golf. And then between this and everybody's golf, I've grown to really like the whole three-click thing. I think it's a good way to golf. I like three-click golf. So yeah, I've been playing three-click golf, as I said.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned that, haven't I?
Yeah.
What else am I doing? Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Okay.
Which is a Wii U game. Would you believe it? I suddenly realised basically that I haven't finished Captain Toad.
Yeah.
And I loved Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. It was probably my game of the Wii U type thing.
Yeah.
And I never actually got round to finishing it, which I think was a shame. So I've gone back to playing it. It's sort of resuscitated the Wii U. And it's a really, really, really bloody good game. It's full of little puzzles, micro puzzles, if you will. And you know what's that game on the iOS, Monument Valley, where you move the perspective to do stuff?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that in a not very like that way.
Okay.
So the way it works is you're exploring essentially giant cubes. And you rotate around the cube and there's different sides to it, and the different sides have different sort of puzzling aspects. And that's kind of it. You just sort of go to it like that. And you solve the puzzles and unlock the diamonds. Apparently Toad, all this time, has been a jewel thief. Because as far as I can work out, he's walking around these worlds stealing everyone else's jewels. So you're a little thief and you walk around the world getting the jewels, trying to avoid being swept up by the giant bird that seems to be pervading the game, and generally making a menace at yourself. However, it's a Nintendo game, so yeah. The art style is beautiful, yeah. The music is fantastic, and the puzzles are sublime. Because they take the time to develop the game that needs to be developed. Is that fair? That is fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't release it until it's done. I can't think of a Nintendo game that was released before it was done type thing.
Definitely release some games that are less than great.
Really? In modern times?
I don't know.
And even previously, they had their what was it called? The seal. What was the Nintendo seal?
Oh, yeah. But yeah, it's, I don't know, I've not really played that many Nintendos. What was the Mii thing? Miitomo on the, but that was a mobile product.
That was a mobile thing, and I think they farm out their mobile development.
They do, but it's still their content in theory. It's like
in theory.
Mario Run was one of theirs. It was their property, effectively.
Mario Run was good. It took a lot of getting used to. But the gameplay itself was good.
Yeah.
It was a very good. It was a very good example of the.
Maybe it's just because
whatever
it's
genre.
Run game,
what genre is that? Infinite Runner? Is that the genre?
Well, it wasn't an Infinite Runner, was it? It was almost an Infinite Runner.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very good example of an almost infinite runner.
Yeah, yeah, just a
not run quite thing. Infinite runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. Me Tomo, I completely agree. It was. It didn't sit easy, did it? As a fang. Because it was basically a giant pachinko machine, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Don't know. Yeah.
You just tried to unlock clothing using a pachinko machine, which is gambling, which doesn't sit right, does it?
No.
Yeah, I'll give you Mutomo.
But yeah, they've done a lot of good games, but then yeah.
Generally, they are purveyors of good games. Generally.
Yeah.
More likely than not that the game will be good if it's made by Nintendo.
Yeah, they've you know, some of the Zelda games haven't come across as well as they could have been. I don't know. I've only played Twilight Princess and some Breath of the Wild, and I didn't really get into either of those. So
Twilight Princess was amazing.
Okay, a lot of people didn't like some of the stuff in Twilight Princess.
I really liked Twilight Princess. In fact, I'm going to play it again on the Wii U now I've got it set up.
Yeah, because so I've got it for the Wii U, but yeah, I didn't really get into it. Breath of Wild.
Where did you get up to in it?
I was a dog in a prison, I think.
Oh God, you're right at the beginning.
Yeah. As I say, I didn't really get into it.
Give the game a chance.
Yeah. I got it on the Wii. No, that's it. I got it on the Wii, didn't I? It's a Wii game.
You may have got it on the Wii. It's better to rebuy it on the Wii U.
Oh, I don't think I'll bother.
Because the Wii U doesn't have the stupid remotes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I must have got past that. No, I think I did get past that. That is
literally, like, you finish the village and then you're in the...
Because don't you have to shoot an arrow to a island or something later on?
Yes. No!
Was that earlier? Is that the
village? That's earlier.
Okay.
It's not an arrow, I think it's an eagle. But yes. To get the monkey, you think you're out.
I have no idea. I got it on the Wii when it... Was that a launch title or close to it?
What, Twilight Princess?
Yeah. Because it came out on the GameCube, didn't it?
It just about came out on the GameCube.
Well, no, I think it came out on the GameCube and came out on the Wii as well. But it was the controls.
Yeah, but it's one of those ultra rare games for the GameCube.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it was in the tens of thousands that were produced.
Oh, okay.
It's a very, very rare game. So the Wii U version is the GameCube version.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So it's got sort of quote unquote proper controls.
Didn't they have to flip it? Because isn't he left-handed or something?
Yes, yeah. They flipped it
because obviously they wanted the motion controls.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, no, I definitely played the Wii version, but yeah, it was weird. I didn't get into it, but then again, I didn't get into Breath of the Wild, and that's lauded as one of the best Zelda games ever.
It's lauded as one of the best games ever.
Yeah, I didn't get.
The world have lost their mind about that game.
I didn't even get my hand glider in that. That's how.
So I'm not sure I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You know how like I always say about Horizon Zero Dawn and stuff. It's got that I don't think I'm going to enjoy it feel about it whenever I see footage of it. But I can't not play it because I just feel like it would be ignoring something that clearly has something to it.
Yeah.
Because everyone has voted it Game of the Year. And a lot of people are sort of mooting it to be one of the best games ever made. And I feel like that's quite a big accolade, right?
Yeah. I must play that again, but I'll play it on a screen, on a TV, rather than on the pad.
Yeah, I don't feel like the pad would do something like that justice.
Yeah, because I've brought the Wii U up here now, because I got Tokyo Mirage Sessions, but that requires a screen, so I haven't played it yet. So I brought the Wii U up here, but I've yet to plug it in. Because I haven't plugged the PS4 in yet.
Are the Wii U saves on the console or on the... None of the handheld is just the handheld, isn't it?
Yes. It's not on the handheld, because the handheld is just a screen and controller.
Right.
It's either on the console or the SD card. And your games are either on the console or the USB card.
But in theory, while the Wii U is in its swan song, you could pick up a dirt cheap Wii U and have two type thing, just walk upstairs with saves. Could that be a thing, or am I...
You'd have to save the saves to the SD card and then move the SD card upstairs.
Right. So it couldn't exactly be a thing the way I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah. If you could use the... Yeah, if you could save it to the gamepad and move the gamepad between the two Wii U's, yes, that would work. If it doesn't, it saves it to the actual Wii U itself.
Right.
So you'd have to copy them onto the SD card and move that between Wii U's.
And I'm assuming the SD card can't be moved between Wii U's?
I don't know. I assume it can, because I don't think you save... I don't know. I don't know whether you... Because I don't think you save games to it, do you? It's just save data, I think. So I assume you can move it between Wii U's. Because it's downloaded games you can't move between consoles. Because it's tied to that console.
Okay. I need to give it a go.
Because if you buy a digital game on the Wii U, I'm fairly sure you can only play it on the one device.
Yeah, I think it's still the same thing on the Switch.
Yes, it is. And the DS as well, 3DS.
So infuriating. Oh, talking of the DS, I've been playing Animal Crossing on the DS.
Oh, okay, New Leaf.
New Leaf, because Cy lent it to me.
Yeah, I've got that on digital.
It's alright.
It's okay.
I still have this thing with Animal Crossing. It's one of these games that I should like, by all intents and purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
I can never quite get into, and I don't understand why.
I played an awful lot of Stardew Valley.
Right.
But didn't play that much of New Leaf.
Is Stardew Valley worth it then?
Oh, I liked Stardew Valley.
In your humble opinion.
Yeah, it's in the Steam library, so.
I think I'd be tempted to get it on the Switch, if I'd be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a perfectly good game for the Switch. Because you could... I don't know how well it worked. It depends whether you can save, because... On the PC, you have to save at the end of the day.
Okay.
So every time you sleep, it saves. But other than that, you can't save. So you do a day, and that's it. So you'd have to effectively turn the switch on, do a day, and then wait. So you couldn't just do 5 minutes. You'd have to complete the entire day. Some days will be about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But not all.
Yeah. It depends on what you're planning to do that day. If it's raining, then you don't need to water your plants, so that probably saves you some time. Although, with the energy you save from not watering your plants, you could spend ages mining.
There's mining in there?
Yes.
In a farming game?
There's a dungeon. You can go and mine and kill monsters.
Okay.
It's
a dungeon.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like the game I was expecting it to be. I was expecting it to be a Harvest Moon ripoff.
I think it's a bit Harvest Moon-y, but there's other things as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so you make relationships with the villagers, and you've got a pet you can feed and stuff, and you get recipes to make things, and you give gifts, and expand your farm by getting somebody to build you outbuildings and things, and get animals, and yeah.
This does sound like the sort of game I would enjoy.
And there's new stuff now, so you get different areas to start your farm in. I think it's because they keep adding to it, so there's lots of extra content now.
Okay, it's still actively being supported, is it, by the dev?
I haven't seen much recently, but yeah, there was a couple of releases last year that added stuff. But that might be because they were working on the Switch version. I think it's a fairly small team. So maybe they're spending all their time on the Switch version. I shall have a look, see what the update... I've typed that wrong, obviously. Starbound now. Stardew Valley, there it is.
Because presumably the Switch version has done relatively well, right?
I would have thought it. I think a lot of people bought it because obviously it's a portable version of Stardew.
Right.
Obviously, I've played it on my Windows tablet, so I've already got a portable version.
Does it play nicely on the Windows tablet?
Yeah. It does. Touch controls. I wouldn't use a touch screen. I'd definitely use a mouse and keyboard. And you definitely need a scroll wheel for it. So, yeah. I had some problems because I was using an Apple Magic Mouse, which doesn't have a scroll wheel.
Okay.
Because you've got gestures you can do on the top, but because it's on a Windows machine, I don't get those.
Right.
Yeah, so I was a bit limited on what I could do. But yeah, it was definitely just about playable. You could almost play it with touch controls, but not quite. So yeah, what's...
That sounds right. I'm trying to think.
21st of December.
What's 21st of December?
That was a news article, I think. Oh no, that was Rock Paper Shotgun.
I've also been listening to you and Si while you're looking.
Okay.
I've been playing Bridge Constructor Portal.
Oh yes.
Oh, it's good.
I've been playing that as well.
It's really good.
Yeah, and it now works on my tablet.
It shouldn't be as good as it is, I feel.
Well, they've made a lot of Bridge Constructor games.
Right, so the last one I played, I think, was the first one.
Okay, I've only just played that one, because I got it as bundled as part of the... Because I think there's a bundle. You've got both of them, Portal and possibly the first one. But I've played Medieval before.
Okay. So what I really liked with this one, given that the last one I played was the first one, is the fact that you don't have a budget that you have to stick within.
Yeah.
It just tells you how much you've spent. That is such a great touch.
Well, it's because they've added extra things, haven't they? There's extra hazards. Because before, if you had infinite money on the normal game,
yeah,
there wasn't really a challenge.
Right.
Because you'd just build a stupidly big construction and it'd support it.
Right.
So that was the reason why I think you had to have a budget. So you didn't just, when you got steel, I'll just have a completely steel bridge then.
You could do that on this one.
Yeah. But you've got turrets and lasers and things stopping you doing that.
Laser beams.
Because I'm on 29 at the moment.
Right.
So I've been trying to go through it and keep all my passengers, which I've just, I think I've just about managed it on 20. It's 26 or 27 was really tricky to do it on, because effectively you've got a catapult that catapults you into a laser beam.
Uh-huh.
You've got to stop yourself getting into that laser beam, and I'd used a little trick that was really obvious in the end. But yeah, that took me a time to try and figure out how to do that without losing passengers. But yeah, I've managed to keep every passenger so far.
You don't need to do that though.
Nope. I believe it's a... I think personally that yep, there'll be an achievement for doing that. But I don't think you need to.
This is why I'm playing it on iOS, so there's no achievements.
Okay.
It works okay on iOS. You can just zoom in and zoom out.
Yeah, you can do that on... Well, obviously I had another... problem with that again, because I couldn't do it when I was playing it on the tablet with the Apple mouse, because I couldn't use the scroll wheel.
Right.
Because that's a zoom in, zoom out, and there was no other way of doing that on the PC version. So I plugged in a USB mouse this lunchtime and played it that way. So then at least I had a scroll wheel.
So they've got... I'm trying to think what I heard about this. Oh, they're making a Switch version of it.
Okay.
Which, again, would work really well. Just by virtue of what it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Do you think they'll make it touch?
I would imagine so.
So if you're docked, you'll be touch. If you're not, then you'll...
If you're undocked, you'll control. Be... Yeah. I think if you're undocked, it'll be like the PC, right?
Yeah, but it'll be a controller rather than a mouse.
No, you can use the right controller like a mouse.
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, it's not a mouse, though, is it? It's not. You haven't quite got the controls of a mouse.
You can. It works like a pointer.
Yeah. It's standard mouse pointer behaviour that a console uses.
No. The right controller has an infrared.
Oh,
pointer.
Like a Wii thing.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Like a Wii wand.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. I'd hate to use it, but yeah, it's a thing.
So, yeah. I reckon that's how they do it.
Okay. It's very possible. I'm not sure I'd like to do that. I'd almost prefer to use the sticks to just move the pointer around the screen with the analog sticks. But yeah, mouse and keyboard works great. I think touch would work fine too. But yeah, it's annoying that they haven't got a touch mode on the PC version.
Right, for touchscreens.
For the few people that have touchscreen PCs.
I feel like it's quite a lot of people these days, because most laptops are touchscreen, I feel.
A lot of them are starting to get touchscreen, yeah. The higher end ones, the lower end ones are still all normal thing, unless you get down to the Windows tablets like what I've got, the really cheap ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Have you got like a Lynx 8 or something?
No, I have got a Lynx 10 somewhere, but no, this is a Dell Venue 10 Pro. So that's it's a slightly better version.
Okay. It's a proper one, is it?
Well, yeah, it's still an Atom processor though, with integrated graphics and things, so it's not great, but it runs Portal fine. This Bridge Portal, okay. There's a couple of other little games, fine. The big problem is memory. Because it's only got 32 gig internal storage and 32 gig SD card. If you put anything more than a 32 gig SD card in, it randomly disconnects the SD card. So I bought a nice 128 gig SD card. And
why does it do that?
I don't know. I think it's power management. It just doesn't give enough power to the SD card and it just disconnects randomly. So I was trying to find a high capacity, low powered SD card, but just wading through posts and trying to gamble on buying an SD card that works fine with it after I've bought a couple. I just gave up and just put a 32 gig in instead.
Yeah, it just sounds like a lot of effort, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because also, if I plug a USB stick in as well, sometimes it disconnects the SD card. Because you need power to power the USB stick. So therefore it takes the power away from the SD card and sometimes it disconnects.
Oh, man.
It's all fun and games.
It sounds so much fun, Aaron.
Yeah. So I just use SD card. The one that's in there, and that's it.
Yeah. It does not.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound.
If I need any more stuff, I just have to delete something. But I've got Unreal Engine on there at the moment. So that's taken up a whole bunch of space. So that's 16 gig on its own. So I've been trying to develop stuff on there. So.
What, on the Unreal Engine?
Yeah. Yeah, doing my Unreal. I haven't touched it for a month or so, but it's on there ready for when I go back.
How's your RPG going?
I haven't done anything for months because I was doing this other project for a little while, and then I passed that on to some people to see what they thought and didn't get anything back.
So I thought, they didn't reply at all.
No. So
that's not particularly like.
No, but you know that's
impressive.
That's how it goes culture. Sometimes. Yeah. So I'm going to go back to my game now.
Okay.
Because I'm not wasting my time on that when I could be on my own game.
Yep.
So I'm gonna go back to my game and see if I can get any more done. Because I've got inventory, I've got that there at the moment.
You had a little village working, didn't you?
I've got a little village, I've got some people in there, I can talk to them, and I've got inventory and I've got objects I can pick up. So that's what I've got at the moment. The discussion tree needs work.
Mm-hmm.
The
please tell me that is physically a tree in the game. Like
no.
The Great Deku Tree in
no.
Zelda.
No.
You're missing a trick, Aaron.
No, because I'm not having you talking to trees.
Oh, come on.
No. Because I have an idea of the game, or at least the initial game, for this set of stuff. Because the idea is that I'll do this, I'll write a story with it, and then hopefully make it generic, make the basic base generic enough to then write other stories on top of it. And just change the characters around and stuff. We'll see. So get all the systems in so that I can then start writing stories on top of that. We'll see how it goes, see how well I do. And yeah, hopefully it'll be out at some point eventually. But yeah, I don't know what system to work on next, so I'll have a look, see what I'm going to do.
So is it basically just a case of trying to get all the game systems there?
Yeah, get whatever systems I want in there. For basic interactions and stuff. Get some assets in there that aren't placeholder assets like half the stuff I've got there now. And then start writing some story to go with it, and then as and when I need extra systems to go with the story, I'll add those in and try and build out a working world. AI is going to be interesting because I've not done AI before, so that's going to be
is there not like a pre-made AI that you can use?
Well, there's some AI built in, but it's not very complicated AI.
Right.
So there's some pathing and stuff like that you can do by default, but it doesn't make many decisions. So I'm going to have to create some AI that make it feel like a real world, rather than just a bunch of people standing around in a village waiting for you to come up and ask them a question.
What's the answer to the question, Aaron?
Depends what you ask them, I guess.
Okay.
Like, are you stealing my food? One thing that peed me off with stuff like Skyrim is you can go into anybody's house and just steal all their food.
Yeah. You can steal most of their stuff, right?
Yeah.
Without the property noticing.
Yeah, yeah. There was some theft mechanics in Skyrim, wasn't there?
Yeah, if they saw you, they got hacked off.
Yeah. But yeah, then there was stuff like
Skyrim cops.
What was the other one? There's other games like Dragon Age and Witcher. Witcher was one. You just walk right up to them and steal their stuff from under their nose, and they just wouldn't say anything.
Well, they're just very polite, Aaron.
Yeah, yeah, they don't mind. Go up to, you know, steal all their food and their broken rake and everything, and they won't say a thing to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's this nice Hulman chap that wants to come in. You want to entertain the Hulman?
Yes. So that's quite good. So yeah, I've been playing Portal and Kingsway. I played a bit of.
What is Kingsway?
It's an RPG game. It's a fairly classic RPG game. Played in a Windows you know, 3.1 type environment.
Okay.
So you've got a desktop, and you've got your character, which is a window. You've got the map, that's a window. You've got a quests, which is a inbox, a mail window, so you mail. And, yeah, and you wander around, and your inventory's a window, and, yeah, you've got windows everywhere. And, yeah, you fight. When you fight a monster, the monster appears as a window and moves around your screen. And the action buttons are on that window. So if you want to attack it, you have to hit the attack button when it's available. Because its cooldown time is on the buttons. So when it's your turn to act, the buttons activate. So you can click on one of the buttons. But the window is moving around the screen. So if you want to keep attacking, you have to keep following the window around to keep attacking. But then if somebody fires an arrow at you, or there's a poison dart happens, it flies across the screen, and you've got to hit the window in time, hit the button in time to dodge it. So that's quite fun. It's the window management thing. I haven't played much of it. Well, I've played half an hour so far. But yeah, it seems quite fun. Well, nice concept.
Okay.
So I've been playing that. That was quite a good game to play. It, obviously, it plays on my tablet as well, so that's where I've been playing that.
And how's the world looking in terms of Spectre and Meltdown and stuff this week?
What?
You were sort of giving us updates, weren't you, last week?
Yeah, I've not heard much about them at the moment. I think Spectre's still a problem, from what I gather. There's been some patches about it. Meltdown has been patched, but it has hit CPU performance on Intel.
How much is it affecting, do we know?
I don't know. Last report was 10 to 30%, depending on what you were doing. 30% obviously is horrendous.
Right.
But most people won't hit that.
I thought that was more for servers.
Yeah, if you were running virtualization and things like that. Which, obviously, I do at work. So that's all fun and games. My laptop's running a bit slower.
And everything's running on Intel stuff?
Well, my laptop is Intel. Most things are Intel these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, took a big hit. Obviously, all your cloud-based stuff has taken a hit. I don't know whether some of the other cloudy sort of things, like Kubernetes and things like that, get hit by the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they're hit to some extent, because obviously everything's hit by to some extent because of this separation code that has to be added. But yeah, so we'll carry on. Hopefully, Intel will release a new chip soon, and then everyone will have to buy new chips to get secure, and there'll be a load of cheap chips on the market.
Can that be a thing? Everyone's just basically forced to upgrade.
Yeah. If you want to get back to the performance you had, you'll have to upgrade your chips to the new chips.
Just sounds distinctly unfair, doesn't it?
If, of course, Microsoft and the like have written it in that they won't run the extra code if you're running one of these new chips. Because that's the thing, is that there's no guarantee that your machine will be any quicker if you get one of the new chips. Unless Windows says, oh, you've got a new chip, you don't need to run this software. That slows your machine down.
But it slows it down for all the right reasons, right?
Oh, yeah. It's protecting your passwords and everything. Because before, you could see, at least, yeah, you could see the... I saw some code running that basically showed your password as you typed it.
Ridiculous.
Because it was obviously, it was going into memory, and they were just pulling it out of memory.
Right.
You typed it.
It's crazy, isn't it?
You just pull it straight out of memory. So yeah, that's fun. But yeah, I don't know about Spectre. So I don't know whether they can fix
Spectre. I thought AMD have come out and said that they fixed it already.
Oh, okay. Maybe, I don't know. I haven't seen anyone, because I keep up on the tech channel at work. And normally things like that get posted there quite quickly.
I have a funny feeling that AMD have already fixed Spectre from their end, which is why they've got away with all of this so quietly.
Well, no, because Meltdown didn't affect them, which was one of the big ones, but Spectre did.
I thought Spectre was going to be equally as big as Meltdown.
Yes, it is, yeah. But there was no fix, because it was purely how the hardware ran. And there wasn't an easy way of doing it. But I don't know whether 12th of June, that's a few days away. So we'll have to see. Maybe they have, maybe they've worked it out, but whether they've fixed it for now or whether they've fixed it for new chips. As far as critical AMD handling, okay. I don't know. I'll get us an update for next week. I'll do some research into it and find out what the chip manufacturers are doing now. Because quick Googling isn't going to give me the right answer.
No. So I don't think there was major news this week, was there?
Intel are now having AMD graphics.
Oh yeah, there's that partnership. That was quite major news. I'm being an idiot.
That was
they're embedding AMD graphics chips, aren't they?
Yes. So instead of, because everyone was thought they were going to really do a big push, Intel, on graphics hardware,
uh-huh,
to try and get their graphics processing up to scratch with the other two, but it looks like they're now using AMD in their CPUs as an inbuilt, as the higher end inbuilt things, which is weird because AMD have always been higher heat, and what you don't want is more heat in your CPU.
Unless they've cracked the whole.
They might have cracked that now. I don't know. It's been a while since I've had an AMD. The R9 was the last one I had. Sai's got that now. So, yeah, I'm running a really naff AMD graphics card now in my second machine. But, yeah, mostly NVIDIA. But I think that's the problem, is NVIDIA are just killing the market at the moment.
Just because they're that much more efficient at everything.
Well, just because everyone's gone at NVIDIA for their graphics cards. And it's in all the Intel chips. Because I've got two NVIDIA graphics processors in my machine at the moment. The one on the chip and the one, the PCIX one.
Okay.
Sorry, PCI Express. There's so many more of them out there, and most people are seeing NVIDIA because they're working closer with the games.
Right.
So, and people are snapping them up for mining.
Yeah, it's a whole thing now.
Currency mining.
And that's part of the reason that they've stayed so expensive, isn't it, relative to what graphics cards used to cost.
Because as they were coming out, people were just snapping them up off the shelves to do Bitcoin mining.
Well, not Bitcoin, but crypto mining.
Crypto mining, yeah. Maybe not Bitcoin, because they're almost all gone. So we'll see. We'll see. Because hopefully for me, the crypto market will have a bit of a crash, and we'll be able to buy cheaper GPUs again. Because the 1070, I think it's gone up in price since I bought it.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's around 400 quid now.
It's mad, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have paid 400 quid for my graphics card. I'm fairly sure I didn't.
The 1070 is 400 quid?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's their mid-range. Well, not their, that's their, like, first tier.
First tier. Yeah, because 1060 is your base level you want a 1060 if you want to do VR.
Yep.
1070s, you're going to get some half decent graphics with that, and 1080 and above, you can run quite a lot decent. You probably get some pretty good 4K, you know, high end games on your 1080 and 1080 Ti. And then obviously if you're going Titan, you just got more money than you know what to do with, because they're a couple of grand each, I think.
Are they?
Yeah. New Titans. So yeah, but yeah, hopefully that there'll be a stop in the mining, and we can actually buy cheaper graphics cards.
Or just any graphics cards, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not so bad in the UK. I've heard in the US that there's been real stock issues in certain places in the US where.
It's weird that it's not like that in the UK then.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether it's just not as viable. Maybe I don't know. Maybe the energy prices in the US are lower.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard that, you know, the price of powering the miners is getting to where it's just not viable in certain circumstances. So
right.
But we'll see. We'll see. See how it goes. Hopefully. It'll all slow down, so there'll be a glut of people selling used graphics cards on the market. Not that you'd probably want to buy those, because they'll have been run, you know, 24/7.
Right.
To mine Bitcoin, so you probably don't want. No, they're probably less than reliable. Maybe if they're cheap enough, though, you know. If it's just a SLI card, especially with Vulcan coming along.
What's Vulcan?
Vulcan is multiple graphics cards without need for SLI or crossfire.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How's that going to work?
I don't know. It's a way of processing stuff on your graphics card. So, you know, slaving it off, and you know, new calls to allow it to cross compile across the graphics cards. Because at the moment on Nvidia, you could use one of your Nvidia cards for PhysX, can't you?
Can you?
You can dedicate a card for PhysX, and then have your other card for your graphics.
Okay, that's news to me.
So you run your physics on one card, and your rendering on the other card. So potentially you could do more of that. So you do more processing, and then it just channels it down to the other card to actually display it. So hopefully you do more. You know, it's supposed to be better than SLI and crossfire, and in theory you can use different brand cards and different cards. So if you had a 1070 and then decide to upgrade to a 1080. You wouldn't slow down your 1080 to your 1070 speed to use them both. You could just run them both at their full speed with Vulcan.
Okay.
And in theory, maybe we could start using the CPU's GPU, so the onboard GPU, for extra stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you could make use of all this power you've got in there without wasting any.
That'd be nice.
It would. That's the ideal for Vulcan. I don't know how far it is along. The only reason I know about it is because they're adding it to Star Citizen.
Okay.
So it's one of their updates, in theory, this year, is to add Vulcan to it. So it will use extra graphics processing on different graphics cards. So hopefully we'll get that. I've got it installed on my machine, but unless games take advantage of it, it's of no use, really. It's not worth getting an extra graphics card and have it sit in there idle most of the time if your games aren't using it.
Yeah, that does sound somewhat sensible.
Yeah. So there was that. Nvidia are making TVs now, apparently.
Are they?
Yeah, so there's an Nvidia TV out now.
Okay, I was just going to say, apparently the Xbox One X is going to support the... What's the AMD version of FreeSync? That is the AMD version, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it FreeSync or... Yes, it is, yes, because Nvidia have G-Sync.
Yeah.
Because this new monitor TV thing has Nvidia Shield built in and G-Sync.
Right. Microsoft have announced that the One X, not announced, but it's a thing that the One X has got FreeSync compatibility built in.
Oh, okay.
So, and I think a lot of TVs have quietly had it built in.
Okay. Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if Nvidia are feeling the pressure somewhat to do something with the TVs, because they've lost the console market, haven't they?
They didn't really do much in the console way, did they?
No.
We'll see, because obviously it's got Nvidia Shield built in, so if you've got an Nvidia graphics card, you can shadow play to this TV, I believe. It's got Nvidia Shield built in.
I believe it when I see it.
Because that's the idea, is that you can remote play.
Right.
Which is fine, because you can remote play anyway. It's not... Remote play isn't... No, we've been remote playing to iPads and the like anyway.
For centuries.
Well, for a few years anyway. But yeah, so we'll see.
It's annoying you can't remote play the PS4 to an iPad.
Yeah.
I've always thought that was a bit weird.
You can to Android, though, can't you?
Only if you've got Sony one.
Yeah, which I think is just... It's just weird, because you don't... It's just a different phone.
Yeah.
There's nothing special inside the Sony phones.
No, it's just on the outside where it's got the letters on the front.
Yeah. But yeah, I did actually install it on my Sony phone when I had a Sony. Because I had the Z1. But
presumably it worked really well.
It didn't work very well on that.
Oh, no.
Because it was the first generation. So Z2s apparently are a lot better.
Right. Yeah, I need to...
If they're going to add it, they ought to add it right first time. Otherwise,
I need to find out. There's got to be a way of getting it working, right?
I don't know. I'm sure there is some weird and wonderful ways of doing it, because a lot of that came out of some hacks anyway, didn't it?
Did it?
Yeah, the PC hacks, because there was a PC hack that allowed you to do it before it was official.
Okay.
There was a way of sort of pretending to be a Vita, effectively, or a Sony phone, and you could get your remote play on PC before it was a valid thing you could do.
A lot of people
doing it before Sony said, oh yeah, you can remote play to the PC. So that was a thing.
I need to have a little look at it. Yeah. The Vita's Wi-Fi just lets it down. That's the trouble. I'm totally happy playing with the Vita, especially now I've got that sort of special grip that lets me use the triggers as the touchpad.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it's got like extra triggers that touch the touchpad for me. Yeah. And since I've got that, it plays so much better. But the problem is the Wi-Fi. I can. I'm not far. You've seen where I play.
Yeah.
I'm sat in my bed and the PS4 is in the study. And they can't find each other. And now there's a Wi-Fi switch, or whatever it is, a Wi-Fi extender, under the TV, because we've got Sky Q.
Yeah.
So there's phenomenal Wi-Fi generally in the loft.
Yeah.
Except for...
No. Thing is, with it... if you've got direct connection turned on, and it can see a sliver of the signal, it will do a direct connection, rather than going over your Wi-Fi.
I don't think I have got it turned on.
Okay.
I don't think... Should I check? Could that be the problem?
That could be your problem. It's best if it does go direct, but if the signal's poor, you're better off going through your Wi-Fi network.
I'm going to go and have a look.
But yeah,
this is setting on the PS4, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
I'm going to go and have a look. And on that bombshell, while I go and have a look, Aaron, where can people follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
Fantastic. I'm at Flyshy, FLEISCHYY. The entire show's at the Loopcasters. You can email us, theloopcasters@hotmail.com. Get in touch with any comments, questions, things we could do better. And we'll see you next week.
Yes.
Si's still on holiday.
He's still on holiday next week. We'll have to see if we can get Anna back for a week, if she's not too tired. There must be a half term coming up soon.
Don't know. I think Anna's abandoned us.
I think she's... I've listened to her on her other show and she's so tired. She's barely there on that show. I think she gets dragged along to that one.
It's a lack of dedication to the Loopcast cause. Mm-hmm. It's not at all. Anna, we want you back. Yeah. Come back. Yeah, alright. We'll see you more next week.
Alright, bye.
Mm.